join us online as we stream. You can catch any of our services on Facebook, YouTube, or at www.rdci.info. We might not be able to gather in the building, but you can still get to church. Stream on Sundays at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesdays at 12 noon and 7 p.m. And ladies, catch Women's Bible Study on Facebook, Fridays at 12 noon. Thank you for listening to the Direction for Life broadcast with Drs. Herbert and Marcia Bailey. We'd love to have you at any of our three campuses. In Columbia, join us at 3506 Broad River Road. If you're in Orangeburg, meet us at 990 Willington Drive. In Florence, join us at 1507 West King Avenue. For more information, including service times, visit rdci.info. We hope you enjoy today's broadcast. Today's message is About Face by Bishop Herbert Bailey.
2 Chronicles 7:14. And it reads, many of us are familiar with this scripture, from the traditional King James. It says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Verse 15 says, now mine eyes shall be open, mine ears attent unto the prayer that is made in this place. Now, Father, I thank you as I stand behind this desk to declare your word to your people. Wherever we are, whatever situation we are in, regardless of what we have on, regardless of what we look like, regardless of what's going on in our communities, regardless of what time zone we're in, I declare right now that the entrance of your word brings light, illuminates all the dark places, gives us clarity about what we need to do for us, what we need to do to get out of our lives, what needs to get out of our lives, and to take into our lives what we need to take in, the adjustments we need to make. Let your word be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path today. In Jesus' name, amen. So I'm going back into a series that I started last week entitled About Face. About Face. About Face is a military term that means to turn around. And again, when you're walking this way, when they say about face, first thing is they step back, pivot, and then turn the other direction. So when we talk about face, we're talking about repentance. And real repentance means a total about face. You know, even as we continue to hear about laws being changed, we now even hear about certain communities and cities and people complaining about it. But it was one of the first ones that's been done and acknowledged of the city of Asheville, North Carolina, not very far from us here, about two and a half hours from us here, has decided that they're going to give reparations to African-Americans because they realize that their role in slavery and oppressing people. And then there was an apology made. And so people are apologizing. We're hearing about things and people saying that I'm sorry and all that. And I can tell you this, no matter how many laws are changed, if hearts doesn't change, it doesn't matter. Because the only thing that laws will change is procedures. Laws don't change attitudes. And until the heart is changed, which is real repentance, all law is going to do is make people more angry. And so God wants true repentance for us as a nation, for us as people, for us as individuals. God wants true repentance. And so he says here, as he, in response to Solomon dedicating the temple and praying, God, please hear us, please see us. And when we pray in this place, hear us. And if war comes and if famine comes, if pestilence comes, Father, when we gather in this place and pray, please hear us, please do something about it. And God responds to him. He says, I'll tell you. All you got to do, if you call on my name, but if you humble yourselves and pray, seek my face and turn about face from your wicked ways, then I'll hear you. I'll forgive your sins. I'll heal your land. And my eyes will be upon you. My ears will always be attentive to the prayers that you make in this place. And so we started talking about repentance because true repentance means to do an about face. That whole act of pivoting to face in the opposite direction from the original. The act of turning to face in the opposite direction. To do a 180, not a 360. A 360 is just going to get you back where you started. And then some people call themselves repentant. They didn't repent. They just did a 360. They just turned for a minute and then went right back to the same thing in the same way. That's not true repentance. When we truly repent, we do an about face. So the implication of the scripture is that God does not respond. And we can get a guarantee, a response from God, of hearing from God when we repent and turn from our wicked ways. We saw that John the Baptist, the precursor, the forerunner of Jesus, he preached repentance. We saw Jesus himself, according to Mark 2:17. He said, I came not to call the righteous, but the sinners to repentance. We see that Jesus preached repentance. We see that Paul preached repentance in Acts 20 and 21, testifying to the Jews and to the Greeks, repentance towards God. So repentance is also considered a foundational teaching of the church. According to Hebrews 6 and 1, the Bible said we ought to get to the point that we leave the principles of the doctrines of Christ and the foundational things such as repentance from dead works. It should be so intricately part of what we do and who we are and our processes as Christians that the writer of Hebrews calls it foundational. The foundation of repentance from dead works. Therefore, the church in 2020, though we don't hear it, still needs to be preaching repentance. We can preach that God's a good God. We can preach how he wants to bless you, how he wants to increase you, how he wants to give you more and more, how he wants to give you a nice car, how he wants to heal you. And we're hearing everything that God will do, but we're not letting people know that God still wants us to repent. And we saw that from the scriptures, according to 2 Corinthians 7, 8, 9, that repentance starts with godly sorrow. That's not the end of it. It starts with godly sorrow. Paul says, writes in 2 Corinthians 7, 8, 9, he said, I know that first letter ticked y'all off. I know it made you mad. He said, and he said, y'all almost pumped me. I almost felt bad that I wrote it. He said, but no, I'm glad I wrote it. I'm glad that it made you sorrow. I'm glad that it convicted you such to the point that you responded in a godly way, according to 2 Corinthians 7 and 8, that you were sorrow to repentance. For you were made sorry after a godly manner, that you might receive damage by us in nothing. He said that what we did for you ended up helping you. He said, I know sometimes I preach messages and I say things that don't tickle your fancy, that don't scratch your ears, that don't make you run around the church, that don't make you say, oh, my goodness, this is so wonderful. He said, but I know sometimes those are the messages that you need to hear that cause us to look introspectively and to change and to bring about the things in our hearts that need to be brought in and to cast out what needs to be cast out. So it's not enough just to be sorry. Your sorrow must move on that you truly repent, because 2 Corinthians 7 and 10 says God is all worketh. It keeps going. It keeps a process going until you fully repent. We said last week, I'm still reviewing, that true repentance requires acknowledgement. You haven't repented if you haven't acknowledged. You ever hear people say, well, whatever I did, I'm sorry. Well, you haven't repented. How about people say, if I offended you, I'm sorry. No. You just called me a so-and-so and so-and-so. What do you mean if you offended me? You know what you said. You know what you did? So that's no acknowledgement. What that really means is shut up. That really means I don't want to hear your mouth. But true repentance starts with acknowledgement. To not acknowledge that we all need to repent is to be deceived or to be a liar. Because the Bible says we all sin. We all come short of the glory of God. 1 John 1:8-10 says if we say we have no sin, we make him a liar. The truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, acknowledge him, God is faithful and just to forgive us. We saw that when David was brought, he brought to his attention by Nathan the awful thing that he had done. He hadn't seen it in that light until Nathan gave him an example of a rich man taking advantage of oppressing a poor man. And then David saw it in that light. And then when Nathan said, you've done that by taking another man's wife and then having him killed, then immediately David said, I have sinned against the Lord. And then he prays in Psalm 51 and asks God, wash me from my iniquity. Cleanse me from my sins. He says, I acknowledge my transgression. I acknowledge where I got off. I acknowledge where I missed it. My sin is ever before me. So true repentance, it requires honesty without justification. Honesty without justification. Because God does not need to hear out what had happened was. The reason was, if they didn't do this, then I wouldn't have done that. I didn't start it, but I finished it. No, you know, true repentance takes personal responsibility versus what Saul did. When things brought to Saul's attention, he blamed it on the people. He said, well, I had to force myself. I really didn't want to do it. He justified. And God ended up taking the kingdom from him. And then his descendants end up not being blessed the way they should have been blessed because he failed to repent of his own sin. Can I tell you, I often say this, it's bigger than us. When God's trying to get us to do right and be right and deal with certain things, it's not just about you. It's about the blessing he wants to be on your children, on your seed, and on your seed's seed. You know, the Bible says this. He says, you're of your father, the devil, and the sins of your father you will do. Except for a person repent, our children will follow in our same patterns. That's why things need to be repented of. Iniquity is really generational sin. Sin that runs in the bloodline. So let's move on this week to tell you that true repentance, as I said earlier, is a matter of the heart. It's a matter of the heart. Look at Mark 7:6. Jesus says this. Jesus answered and said to them, well hath Isaiah, or we would say Isaiah today, well has Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites. And here he's quoting Isaiah 29:13. Well has Isaiah 29:13 prophesied of you hypocrites. He called them hypocrites. As it is written, this people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. The prophet, I think the prophet James Brown once said, talk loud, but saying nothing. And that's what a lot of people do. When you haven't really repented, we talk loud, but we're saying nothing. Jesus said, you honor me with your lips. You're saying the right thing. He said, but your heart's not right. Your heart is far from me. In Matthew 15:18, it reminds us the importance of stuff starting in the heart on the inside, then working itself on the outside. He said, the things which proceed out of the mouth, they come forth from the heart. We often say this, the truth comes out in a joke. Those things which proceed out of your mouth, they come from your heart. They defile a man. They were saying to Jesus, Jesus, don't you know there's a pandemic out there? People need to wash their hands. They weren't talking about a pandemic, but that's what they were saying. He said, your disciples got to make sure to wash their hands. Wash your hands. How come they're not washing their hands? And Jesus said, you need to understand something. He said, that which comes out of the mouth, it comes from the heart. That's what really defiles a man. For out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts. Oh, so now he's going deeper. He said, even your thought starts from something deeper down in you. He said, for out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts. And then he goes now and then he talks about these thoughts manifesting behavior, such as what? Murder and adultery and fornication and thefts and false witnesses and blasphemies. He said, all this stuff, it starts in the heart. Another place he says in Luke 6, 40, 45 and 46. He said, now a good man out of the good treasure of his heart is going to bring forth that which is good. Now he's talking about good behavior. He said, if you're good on the inside, it will manifest on the outside. He said, but an evil man out of the evil of his heart is going to bring forth that which is evil. It's going to manifest in bad behavior. He said, for of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So Jesus said, now, so back to my point here. Why are you calling me Lord, Lord? You serve me with your lips, but your heart is far from me. So why do you say that I'm your Lord? Why do you say I'm your Savior? Why do you say Jesus is everything to me and you don't do what I say? He said, you're speaking with your lips, but your heart is far from me. So that tells me that it does matter what we do. That tells me Jesus is looking at how we live our lives. That tells me Jesus is looking at what comes out of our mouth and how we treat other people and our behavior. I heard some preaching and teaching recent people say, don't talk to people about their behavior. Jesus talked to you about your behavior. He said, the reason why you're doing this behavior because your heart's not right. So if you get the heart right, the behavior going to take care of itself. He said, but the bad behavior, many times it's the indication we've never really repented. Why? Because everything starts with the heart. When I was thinking about this, I was reminded in Acts the 8th chapter. In Acts the 8th chapter, the Bible says that I believe it was Peter. They went to Samaria, great revival, and people got saved and preached there, and people excited. He said, and this guy named Simeon, who had put himself out to be a great one, he was a wizard, he was a warlock, okay, and he did all types of sorceries, and people were really taken by him. They were moved by him, okay? And so the Bible says that many got saved and they got baptized. It said, and Simon also got baptized. So Simon joined the church too. Simon got baptized too. And he continued to follow around Peter and seeing Peter preach and seeing Peter lay hands and seeing Peter cast out devils. And then when Peter laid hands on people and the people got the Holy Ghost, start speaking in tongues, Simon said, man, that is cool. How much that cost? Let me give you some money and you can give me that power too. And Peter rebukes him. Peter rebukes him in Acts 8 and verse 21. And he says, thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter. First, he says that money perish with thee. Modern day translation, American modern day translation. You and your money going to hell. Your money perish with thee, for thou hast thought that the gift of God can be bought with money. Then he says in Acts 21, thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter. For what? For thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Now, when I read this, I said, but he was baptized. But he came to church service too. But yet, the fact that he would try to offer money, not because he was sowing seed, man, this is great anointing. No, no. He said, I want this power so I can be able to get people to follow me the way they're following you. It was about his own selfish motives. He wanted to use the anointing to get rich. He wants to use the anointing to manipulate people. And so Peter goes right to the issue. He says, your heart is not right with God. Which I say means you are not saved. Well, why would you say not saved? But he got baptized. Oh, we know people get baptized every day ain't saved. I got baptized. I wasn't trying to get baptized. I wasn't even trying to be saved. I don't know if I'm going to be saved. I was just trying to join a junior choir. And I said, I want to join a junior choir. I was about 10 years old. I want to join a junior choir. I said, how can you join a junior choir? They said, we got to join the church. So one Sunday, they said, go on up there. Well, the choir ain't singing today. But this is the procedure in order for me to join a junior choir. Go on up there. And went on up there. Next thing I know, we sat down. Then they took us in a room. And then I remember saying something about, this the day you're going to be baptized. I came out and gave my mom a piece of paper. Next thing you know, one Friday night, they wrapped me up in white, like I assume Lazarus was looking. They took me down in the water, and I thought they were trying to drown me. Then I said, can I sing now? All I was trying to do was join the choir. I didn't know nothing about being saved. They didn't explain anything to me. If they did, I probably wouldn't have understood anyway. But I was baptized. Baptism don't make you saved. A heart change gets you saved. Are y'all listening to me? He said, your heart's not right with God. Now, the first thing that changes when you really get saved is your heart. Your activity may not change. Your habits may not change. Your behavior may not change. Yet, it starts with the heart. So the fact that Peter says, your heart's not right with God, he said, you really not saved. You're not born again. You've gone through the procedures. You're up here in the church, but you have never repented. If you had really repented, you would be trying to be different than you were. And what you're trying to do before was just get over on people, manipulate people, and take people's money. And now, oh my goodness, and now you came to church, and you're still trying to get over on people, manipulate people, and take people's money. You need to repent. How is it that people live the same way out in the world and then come into church and want to do the same thing? Out in the world, you're always trying to get somebody in your downline. Come to church, soon as you're trying to get somebody in your downline. Out in the church, out in the world, always trying to do this and do that. Out in the world, chasing women, chasing men, tricking men. You got to put it on both sides these days. I felt sorry for a young man. My son was telling me, said this young man, he goes to a particular HBCU, and he went to a young lady and said, maybe we can get together in the, what do we call it, in the dorm, the quad or whatever, or a lobby, and just get to know each other and talk. He said, I ain't meeting you in down no lobby. You got to take me to dinner. He said, dinner? I'm just trying to talk to you. That's how we used to do it in college. You used to just come out to the lobby and just be able to talk to them. And then you decide if you want to spend money on them. Now they started, I got to spend money to you on day one. I can't even talk to you. Stop all this tricking. Repent. So we do the same thing in the world, then we bring all that stuff in the church. And sometimes the reason why the church is not looking any different than the world is because we have not really repented. We have not done a 180. So true repentance starts in the heart, but then it manifests itself in behavior. We used to sing a song years ago, something on the inside, working on the outside. Oh, what a change in my life. You know that? Something on the inside, working on the outside. Oh, what a change in my life. Something on the inside, working on the outside. Oh, what a change in my life. Oh, what a change in my life. Then we say Jesus on the inside, working on the outside. Holy Ghost on the inside, working on the outside. What's on the inside ought to start working on the outside. So true repentance starts in the heart, but then it manifests itself in behavior. Psalm 119:11, David said, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Your word's in my heart, so I might not sin against you. What's the sin here? Sin now he's talking about behavior. He said, your word is in my heart that keeps me from certain behaviors. The word is in your heart which keeps me from acting this way. The word is in my heart that keeps me from responding that way. That word have I hidden in my heart that I might not act out sin. So if the word really gets in your heart, it eventually affects your behavior. So God says he's not merely interested in what we say. It's what we do. Because you can have behavior change without heart change. But you can't really have heart change without behavior change. Are you hearing me here? See, one is transformation and one is reformation. Luke 3:38, Jesus says this, bring forth therefore fruits worthy of repentance. And begin not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. If I say unto you that God is able to, of these stones to raise up Abraham unto, raise up children unto Abraham. Jesus is starting to preach to them about how they need to repent and how they need to be, how they need to change and how they need to believe in him and all this. And they just come out of left field. What you talking about? Abraham, our father. Oh, let me give you the modern translation. I've been in the church all my life. That's what they really say. What you talking about? All this stuff. What do you mean? I've been in the church all my life. My grandfather was a preacher. My great-grandfather helped build his church. We got a pew named after my family. What are you talking about? They start talking about their family lineage and thinking that that justifies them with God. And Jesus said, he said, no, you need to bring forth fruit worthy of repentance and stop trying to think your salvation is based upon your family lineage.
True repentance means that we do an about face. We change the way we are going. It's a complete change of attitude and action. True repentance is not merely good behavior in the presence of others. It's a heart turned toward God. In this series, Bishop Herbert Bailey shows us how to truly repent and live the life that God desires for us to live. To order this series, call 877-798-5433. Or order online at www.rightdirection.info. Just ask for About Face. If you are in our area, come join us at one of our three locations. In Columbia, South Carolina, Sunday morning worship is at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesday Bible study is at 12 noon and 7 p.m. Friday, women's Bible study is at 12 noon. Our worship center is located at 3506 Broad River Road in Columbia. In Orangeburg, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Trey and Katie Brave for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 990 Willington Drive in Orangeburg. In Florence, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Dwayne and Denise White for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 1507 King Avenue in Florence. Please email your testimonies to praisereports@rightdirection.info or letters can be mailed to P.O. Box 21672, Columbia, South Carolina 29221. Please consider partnering with us or send a one-time financial gift. For more information, visit our website at rightdirection.info or call us toll-free at 877-798-5433. Right Direction Ministries, empowering people and changing generations.